now. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and happy NFL schedule day to everybody out there in the listening audience. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, and with you for the next couple of hours as we talk the world of sports with you. Coming up on the program, David Kaplan is going to join us from Chicago. We taped Cappy. Oh, about how long ago, Trent? An hour ago?
Yeah, right in that range.
Right in that range. So we'll get Cappy just before he went on the air at 9 o'clock. So we'll talk to Cappy, recap Quintana's outstanding performance last night. Baez with a home run. We'll move around with Cappy. The White Sox all of a sudden putting together a little winning streak, so they'll work their way into the conversation. David Kaplan brought to us by Centurion Stone of Iowa in about 20 minutes from right now. Ross Peterson from the Fanatics. He's got a fishing trip that I want to help him promote, so Petey's going to come on in here. I know you've been talking off air that you've got something up your sleeve for Petey. Anxious to hear that. So we'll talk to Ross Peterson. And then what are you doing as I make my way to the airport? I saw Mark Morehouse as part of the fray.
Yes, Mark Morehouse is going to be by. Plenty to get into spring football-wise as the Hawkeyes putting a cap on their spring run through. And also going to talk some more NFL draft with our Manassarian.
Nice.
Manassarian, who we talked to last week from Sports Info Solutions. A lot of different angles. You know, we didn't really get into the local teams a whole lot. So get his thoughts on the Vikings, the Packers,
good idea,
Chiefs and Bears, and kind of sit where he is as we get ready for next week's NFL draft.
Indeed, Trent. It's a wonderful time of year if you're an NFL fan. There's a whole bunch of checkpoints along the way as I look at the offseason. This will be one checkpoint today. Next week is the unofficial, but official to me, halfway point of the offseason in football. So we look forward to that. The NFL schedule, I got to ask you about the leaks that we're starting to see come out. And you, at the end of the show yesterday, were convinced we'd see some leaks, and I'm with you. So spending some time yesterday afternoon searching around Twitter, and I found a guy at NFL Release, I believe is his Twitter handle. And he went from zero followers to 6,000 followers in about an hour and a half.
Pretty good.
Really good. And he's tweeting out all these leaks that, you know, he made it sound like, yeah, this is happening, folks, and I'm legit. Major cities around the country are picking up on his stuff and crediting him during their sports update that this comes from NFL Release on Twitter that the Cowboys will play, dot, 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 etc. And then he finally had to come out and say at some point in the whole ruse that, I'm trolling you all. This is not real. So he went and like instantly went from 6,000 followers down to 2,200 in like 5 minutes.
Well, bad information is going to kind of lead that direction.
But I couldn't get off his feed because I'm waiting for my Broncos.
Sure.
I'm waiting for the Vikings so I can text my son and, give him a little inside information on his team. And then all of a sudden to find out it wasn't real. But we do know some things about the schedule. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. You know, I guess one of the bigger stories, and we should probably start here with a change in Iowa basketball pursuant to one of their assistant coaches. Andrew Francis decided that he's going to move on. Do you know what's behind it, Trent? I'm not alluding or insinuating one bit that he was pushed. Mm-hmm. But what's behind it? Do you know?
Well,
it's time to move on.
It's interesting because reading the article from the Gazette, and that's where I saw it first. I don't know who.
I think Leistikow had it first. Leistikow did. Yes.
So Mike Kolas had an article, and in the article, it struck me as a little bit odd. A UI official confirmed to the Gazette on Tuesday night. Assistant coach Andrew Francis is leaving the Hawkeyes for another coaching position that has not yet been finalized. So he's leaving.
So it sounds like he's got the job he's getting. Is there somebody in place in that spot?
Could be. It could be something. We're talking about universities, different universities.
I see. Yep.
State-run universities.
You've
got
to go through the employment process. Post the job.
Has to be open for 2 weeks or three, whatever it may be. So that could be.
I like your theory.
But there's also the sinister side, too. You read that and say,
yeah,
was he pushed away? And they're saying this to save face because they know he will get a job down the road, maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe in a couple of months. But he'll end up somewhere with the coaching job, you can take that direction. I'll take it at face value at the beginning.
Yep.
That it's just that it is a hiring process that he is going through. And I think this is a good thing. And this is a conversation we had a season ago. Mm-hmm. Not this past season, but
the season
before.
That you wanted some change in the ranks of the assistants.
You know, and a lot of people, and that's one of the first places that I went after you saw the, I mean, just complete revitalization of the defensive side mm-hmm. of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought Yaklich in.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Luke Yaklich, a guy that was known as.
Does he have a clone?
A defensive guru.
Not a cyclone, but you right. know what I mean.
Yes. A defensive guru, a guy that's going to come yeah. in. And he's going to fix it. A John Beilein, late in his uh-huh. career, a guy that has always been known
way.
As an offensive mm-hmm. just mastermind. And defense, yeah, we'll play a 1-3-1, mm-hmm. it'll be fine. We'll figure it out, but we'll outscore teams.
Mm-hmm.
But he understood it's great when you have a couple of great players to do that.
Yeah.
And get to a national championship game.
But
when you
got to emphasize
Trevor,
that end of the floor as well.
But you have to right. play defense at right. this level. Look at the NCAA tournament this year.
So is this where, yeah, you're great point. I mean, look at the three teams that of the Final Four, right? Defensive
yeah.
juggernauts. No, that's a great point. Texas Tech, Virginia, and Michigan State, their calling card defense.
You have to play on that end of the floor, and you have to play at a high level at that end of the floor. You can get to the round of 32, as we saw with Iowa, and we've seen during the 9 years. Mm-hmm. You can be a team that pretty good.
Well, they were much better. I mean, look, the bar was set as low yes. as you could possibly set it, right? But they were better this year.
They were.
So you're crossing your fingers that whoever fills that role, that's his calling card, that's his specialty, he's a defensive coach first and foremost?
I think that would make a whole lot of mm-hmm. sense. I think there's really two directions you can go. You either go that direction and find that defensive guru. Now, the caveat you have to put here is Fran McCaffrey has to hand off the reins. Much like John Beilein did.
To, yes.
Be willing to.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not been exactly a strength.
You know the best coach I ever saw do that? Thad Matta. Delegate, delegate, delegate.
Sure.
I mean, Trent, he would call a timeout at nut-cutting time mm-hmm. in games, and he wouldn't be running the huddle.
Yeah.
He'd be on the perimeter, you know, sometimes. And I got a whole appreciation for guys who are willing to do that. I like where you're going. I like where you're going. Tyler Cook, Jordan Mohannon could not say enough good things about Andrew Francis and what he meant to them. Not only as a player, and I appreciate this maybe more than the player side of it, but what he meant to them in their growth as human beings and men.
If it isn't that direction, though, defensive guru, you're looking for a recruiter, right?
Right. And now, was that Francis' strength, would you say?
You know, I don't know if Tyler Cook, if that was part of his. The thing with Iowa basketball that is different than some programs, and especially here when you look at Iowa State and what Hoiberg was, he was the CEO, mm-hmm. the mastermind. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't out there, for the most part, doing the dirty work.
Right.
You didn't see him at every tournament, every weekend, grinding away like you see some coaches. Bray McCaffrey is very upfront. He is the lead recruiter for basically everybody. He takes a different way. It's not, this is my lead assistant, this is the recruiting guy, this is the guy that's going to go out there and do all the legwork with things. Bran is very involved with that. So that's another way. If they decide, let's go out and try to find that ace recruiter, a guy with ties to Chicago or Minneapolis or whatever it may be, we want to find that guy. You do that, again, you're handing off reins.
Mm-hmm.
The delegation. Whatever this hire turns out to be, I think that's the bigger question. Not what they get, but is Fran willing to let that guy go do that thing? I still have reservations about that.
Well, we'll see, and we'll see where it goes. It'll be a talker in the next couple of weeks, given something to keep talking basketball in the fine state that we reside in.
Fine. Okay. Twist my arm. Like no. I do with football, you know, with you.
Right. You love college basketball. Well, selfishly, because I'm not trying to put any ideas in your head,
uh-huh.
because you've got the ship. You're steering the next couple of days.
Yes.
I was kind of hoping that you're saving Rob Doster, because I want to get Doster in here. I wasn't giving you any ideas. Well, what are you doing, Trent, Thursday and Friday?
I see what you're doing.
Because he just put out his top 25 and no Hawks, no clones. Yes. I mean, the Hawks were the one that was the surprise. Mm-hmm. Iowa State, we don't know what they're going to be yet.
No.
The roster is still in a state of flux. So anyways, no, use them. Of course, use them. If that's what you want to do on the program. What else? Where else did I want to go? I got to bring up this. And by the way, I'm so glad you're including and leading off the last two updates, yesterday and today, with Des Moines Buccaneers hockey. That's mm-hmm. great. I'm so glad you're doing that. They deserve that. I'm a big fan of Nate Toyt. I've always liked Nate Toyt. Don't know him real well, but, you know, crossed path many times. Mm-hmm. And every time I speak with him, I'm impressed with him. I think he's a good guy. And they've got the right guy running the Des Moines Buccaneers. And they advanced to their next round of the playoffs. Of course, we had Joe O'Donnell in here yesterday. So hockey's been a bigger part of it. And we teased tease that, that, you know, once we get through, once we cut down the nets, that you and I are going to talk puck, we're going to talk NBA, and we will continue to do so. And when we can localize it like we can, we're going to take advantage of doing that. And we'll get some Buccaneers guys in here, maybe Nate himself, early next week when I come back. But I want to bring up the Tampa Bay Lightning just briefly, Trent, because this to me, and I know you're not is willing to go to join me in my belief that, because you've said this in the past, and look, we've seen the Los Angeles Kings come from an 8 seed and hoist the Stanley Cup,
yeah,
and knock off the Chicago Blackhawks when they were in their prime to get there. But Tampa, Trent, was that this is what moves me to believe that, you know, you're on the right path here, Kenneth. This is the most dominant team in the history of the regular season, the NHL, and they've been playing hockey for a long time.
See, I didn't even realize that part. I knew Tampa was really good. I know their record was really good, but that was the part that I didn't realize. I looked at it as another President's Cup team that got beat in the first round.
Because that always happens.
It happens a ton.
Always, yes.
I mean, it's seemingly a yearly
you
conversation.
You don't want to win the President's Cup, and the President's Cup goes to the team with the most points in the regular season. And they had it clinched before Super Bowl Sunday.
Like I told you yesterday, I mean, Washington Capitals, year after year after year.
Nashville Predators last year.
Yes.
Washington seemingly every year. You're right.
It just, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, as a hockey layman that doesn't understand the intricacies, there's the luck component, the hot goaltender that can lead you.
Yeah.
And when you get into the playoffs, you're not playing the Florida Panthers.
No,
you're not playing
right.
You know the That's Buffalo
That's
Sabres.
True. That's true. Yeah,
you're playing a good team, uh-huh, and a team, and the gap just doesn't seem as significant as it does in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. And, well, really, the best team in the West, Trent, is the Calgary Flames, mm-hmm, and the Colorado Avalanche, who was the 8 seed to get it. Were they 7 or 8? One of the last 2 seeds, but they've got the Flames on the ropes.
And speaking of that, I was going to bring this up with Joe. We ran out of time yesterday. How about the kid? Just played in the Frozen Four.
Yeah.
Then he comes in and scores a goal.
Cale Makar.
Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
Unthinkable.
No, unreal. I mean,
think about that.
Won the Hobie Baker on Saturday.
Yeah.
His team got beat in the championship game of the Frozen Four. Next night, or the next morning, he's on a plane flying to Denver. He signs his NHL contract. The next day, he's in the lineup and scores a goal in his first NHL game.
It's like playing in the College World Series and then,
great point.
Going to bounce out?
Yeah, great
or,
point.
Playing in the college football playoff,
mm-hmm,
get from Alabama, and then just go play in the Super Bowl.
Right?
It's nuts.
No, it really is. Cubs for a couple of minutes. I want to get into them. Quintana, look, he's been really good his last 2 starts. 11 strikeouts his previous start.
How about you?
Yeah, well, I'm setting the numbers right on the money. Am I not here? I set the strikeouts at 6.5. You couldn't get the money out of your pockets fast enough to bet the under.
I lost money at the Miller Casino yesterday.
You did. He struck out 7 in the game. But you know what he did? He was strike one. The first, what did they say? 9 out of 10 batters that he faced was strike one. I get it's the Marlins, but these are major league players.
Yes.
They're still major league players. They're not the best major league players. Maybe one day they will. Now look where some of these guys came from, right? Look at that outfield that's no longer. They had some guys there. So you can be good in Miami. You're just going to probably be good when you wear another uniform or get good and then go somewhere else.
That's usually the way it works out. You know, the thing that I really enjoyed watching Quintana pitch last night, though, and we've seen these in the last 2 starts, is that usage of the changeup,
mm-hmm,
where, and you see this with a lot of starting pitchers, you fall in love with fastball and then the sharp slider.
Yeah.
And it's fastball, slider, just back and forth, and you forget about your other pitches. He has used that changeup a whole lot more. He's also incorporated a little bit of the sinker, not a ton,
mm-hmm,
but just a little bit more. You get ground balls out of that sinker, but the changeup has been really the big difference that I've seen here these last 2 starts.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and look at Trent, they're getting it, and I think the bullpen's better too. I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that up with Cappy. I think the bullpen, I'm not saying they've turned the corner, but where they were to where they're at now, you have to feel, I think, a whole lot better about with the way this bullpen's going. Jason Hayward has been a remarkable story. I mean, he was one of these guys that you're thinking, look, they're going to have to eat that contract because they owe him a whole ton of money. It doesn't make sense, you wouldn't think, to continue to pay him when he's not producing. But boy, oh boy, he is off to a terrific start. Conversely, Rizzo and Bryant, yeesh. I mean, it's bad, Trent.
So I posed this question to you yesterday. Is there something physically wrong with either of the guys? It doesn't feel that way. Now, Chris Bryant's coming off a more significant injury. There are times that
shoulder, right?
Big shoulder time. Injuries can completely derail a hitter's career.
Mm-hmm.
You think of some guys that have early in their career had a lot of power, then it was completely sapped, and not just for a season, but sometimes for a couple of seasons. Is it time to maybe think about starting to reevaluate what Chris Bryant is for this season? That power could come back.
I don't want to.
But he's more of a 18 to 22 home run guy for this year as opposed to 30, 35 home runs for this year.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I kind of equate it, and this is going to sound maybe ridiculous, but, you know, he was going to, and he's still going to make a lot of money, but is he going to make the money that we thought he was going to make 2 years ago? I mean, once he gets to that point, he's still got some time to go. But, you know, Boris was going to come in and he was going to ask for the moon, right? He was going to ask for
$500 million.
Yeah, Trout money, Harper money.
He's not there.
That rarefied air of money. And, you know, I kind of equate it to, you know, the team that I follow, because Line A was going to hurt the Jets cap.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an off season. It's time for him to get paid. And I'm thinking, boy, I really love when this kid scores goals. But if he isn't, maybe you get to keep more pieces around him.
Right. Same conversation we had yesterday with the NFL and Russell Wilson signing that contract.
Yep.
It's the reality of when you play in a salary cap league, the way that it's set. No, there's not a salary cap in baseball.
No, but there's a luxury tax.
And it is significant.
Yes.
You go over that threshold multiple times, it is a huge, huge penalty that you have to go through there. And the other piece, and we talk about this with the Cubs this year, is right up against it. And when we were talking the first week of the season when the bullpen looked just absolutely awful, we'll just go sign Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah.
Well, you also have that part of it. Mm-hmm. When you go over the tax, well, then you have to choose. Is it Bryant or is it Rizzo? What are you going to do going forward? Is it Wilson Contreras? Who is it?
Where's Javi Baez? How much money? Boy, is he fun to watch play baseball or
yes,
what?
Yes, he is.
I mean, he got thrown out at second base last night, but okay. He's just so fun to watch run the bases. So aggressive and so gifted in the field. He really is. I said it last year. Nobody heard us, sadly, but it was really good. You know, to me, Robbie Alomar is the slickest fielding, and I'm a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah.
Right?
You've seen a lot of Blue Jays games.
Right. But I've seen a lot of Robbie Alomar play. He's a Hall of Famer. He was so good as with his glove. I see Javi Baez in that same vein.
The best tagger of all time.
He is. I mean, he's...
I've never seen a guy like
no,
do that.
No.
Never. It's not hyperbolic. It's
no.
The truth.
He applies the tag as fast as anybody who's ever done it, I think.
Swipe tags.
Yes.
Off balance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doing things he shouldn't at times, but he's just an entertaining baseball player. We need more of those.
Yeah,
more of those kind of guys.
No,
wasn't very entertaining last night between our teams, though. CJ Cron getting thrown out at home.
End
the game with one out.
I started to text and I said, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. So the only inning I saw of the Blue Jays and the Twins is I got to it with the Blue Jays top of the ninth with one out. And then the Jays bring in their closer, Giles. And instantly gives up, I mean, just a bomb, right?
Yes.
Marwin Gonzalez, he hit that ball. Trent, I'm guessing you watch more Twins games than I do, but you're hard-pressed to find a ball that went any further at Target Field than that one.
Not many, and I think Marwin had been maybe holding on to that because he hasn't hit worth crap this
year.
That
was his first home run.
I think he's had 5 hits going into the game last night. He'd been brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know how excited I was for Marwin Gonzalez.
And I was, too. I thought you guys had something here. But to your point, though, the end of the game, you know, the tying run thrown out at home, that was... And then, of course, you want to celebrate. Not me, but the team wants to celebrate. Kind of in the Cubs game, too. They had to not sweat out a call, but there was a challenge at first base at the end of the game. Kind of takes a little something out of it, right?
It does. You're
think
waiting.
The game is over, and you want to jump in your teammates or pat them on the back or get the handshake lineup going. But hold on a second. We've got a challenge. And we saw that in both the end of the Cubs game last night and the end of the Blue Jays Twins game.
CJ Cron, not exactly the fastest guy I saw.
Thankfully, as a Blue Jays fan.
A lot of conversation. Well, I mean, you're telling me that Jose Berríos isn't faster than CJ Cron. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
You want Jose Berríos, your hopefully ace pitcher.
Right.
You want him running the bases in April?
No.
Come on.
No. Tagged out at the plate. No. With whatever.
Take the L. It's fine.
Were you okay with sending him? Because I was. I thought that was the right thing
to do. It was two perfect throws.
Yeah, that's what it took.
Two perfect throws.
Mm-hmm.
Tip your ball cap. you live to play another day.
Absolutely. Right. Speaking of perfect throws, Descalzo was thrown out at third base last night. I never heard of the guy. I think he just got called up to center fielder for the Marlins. I mean, who knows anybody on the Marlins, right? We know Starlin Castro.
It was a host.
Oh, my God. Galloway? Is that it? I think it's Galloway. I'm pretty sure his name is Galloway. Yeah. I mean, perfect throw.
A rocket.
It really was. David Kaplan is coming up. He's brought to us by Centurion Stone of Iowa. Look forward to catching Ross Peterson, catching up with Petey. He's going to join us about 10:45. We're Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hugs.
Arizona, I want to listen if somebody wants to.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors our weekly conversation with David Kaplan. He joins us from the Windy City. Cappy, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Great, as always. Great to be with you guys.
I appreciate you coming on, Cap. Boy, speaking of great, maybe great's a little over the top for Quintana, but boy, has he been very good. His last two starts, 11 strikeouts the start before, 7 last night, throwing strike one, keeping these hitters off out of balance. And yeah, I get it's the Marlins, but you have to be encouraged by Quintana's last couple of starts.
Yeah, outstanding, because after a quality start, as a Cub only, after a quality start, his ERA, the next start was north of 5. So here you stuck back-to-back ones together. And again, I get it. It is the Marlins. Still a major league team. Yep. It's not like they're winless. They have beaten teams before. So every team in baseball, maybe with the exception of the Orioles last year, is going to win at least 60 games. And then everyone's going to lose 60. It's what you do in the other 40 that determines what type of team you are. So they're going to beat people. So yeah, for me, it's highly encouraging. He really looks good.
He does, and a big part of maybe the change that we've seen out of Jose Quintana is going both to the changeup and the sinker more. Concerted effort out of the pitching staff, is this something that they've been working on, or is just a new blueprint that decided to put out there for Jose Quintana, going more with that off-speed stuff?
You know, he's been able to mix three pitches. First of all, the key to him is fastball command. Fastball command is the key to him being successful. And then you watch, it's got life on it. He's never going to blow you away at 98, but he's got real good getty up on it. He's been able to get it to rise a little bit. Then he throws a curveball that has been flatter the last couple of years, almost since he came to the Cubs, exception of his first start when he beat the Orioles 8-0. It had that sweep to it. Now it's really good, hard downward tilt on it. And then you sit on that, and he ends up throwing a changeup on you. So that, for me, is the key.
Cap, Elmore on Monday night, that catch was unbelievable. But I thought last night's was better, that line drive coming right at him where he had to dive. The ball gets by him. It's going right to the wall in center field. Who knows what happens. I thought last night's catch was more impressive.
Last night's catch was great. That one the other day, though, with the wall coming up, got to have it in his vision. Hayward's right near him. That one for me was better. Yesterday was great. And if it gets by him, it's all of a sudden a 2-2 game, because in that ballpark, that ball rolls to the wall and it is an inside the park home run. Instead, he made the catch and Cubs go on and win in a shutout.
Night before, Yu Darvish was good at times, struggled at others. Still, you look at the end of the box score, very solid and encouraging signs out of Yu Darvish. But one of my favorite things is what he said after the game. When asked about his inconsistency, Darvish has said, "I'm Yu Darvish. I walk guys." Yeah. That's the guy that you paid, what, $130 million to? That's got to be a little concerning, right?
I thought he was pretty good the other night.
He was.
Yeah, not great, but better. Mm-hmm. When he's throwing 99 on pitch 96, mm-hmm. where the hell has that been?
Yeah,
and
really.
I can tell you, I spoke to two guys who are in that travel party with the team, and they both said to me yesterday, we looked up and went, who the hell is that guy? Where has that ever been? We haven't seen 99 from this guy. They like him sitting comfortably, 93, 94. If he needs to reach back and have a little extra giddy up to blow someone away in a key situation, great. They were blown away. They were stunned, as we were. And he said, we asked and made sure the radar gun was accurate. And they said, oh, yeah, 100% accurate. He said, him hitting 99, pitch 96, tells you how much talent this guy has.
No doubt. David Kaplan joining us, brought to us by Centurion Stone of Iowa. Cap, the big bats in the middle of the lineup. Bryant off to a slow start. Rizzo, he's hit some balls out of the ballpark, but the average is below 170 as we'll begin play here tonight. How big of a concern or more of a concern in Bryant than Rizzo? Where are you on those two?
I'm not concerned on either guy. Same people I talked to about Darvish, I said, is he healthy? Talking about Bryant, of course. And they both said, 100%. Shoulder's fine. They've asked him multiple times, Chris, are you healthy? Yes. So if that's indeed true and that he is healthy, I think he's going to be fine. I do. Rizzo, look, he's ahead of where he was a year ago when he hit 149 at the end of April. He's seen the ball well. He is getting on base in terms of taking his walk. He's just got to get going a little bit more offensively.
You know, a disappointing story that we see come out yesterday, and that was about a former Cub and now down here working on his craft with the iCubs, and that is Carl Edwards. It's racist messages sent to him on Instagram. Boy, it's incredible to me, Cap, that we still have these conversations here in 2019.
Yeah, look, it's sad. It's awful. And whoever the idiot is who did it, I hope they get caught, and I hope they get prosecuted if they're able to do that. But, you know, I remember sitting in Dusty Baker's office, and it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and we were talking about wine, and just about anything that had nothing to do with baseball. I'll never forget it. We're talking about great places to go eat in Chicago, and I happened to say to him, do you like it here? And he said, yeah, it comes with its challenges, but yes, I do. He said, I think, you know, that I was destined to be here, and hopefully I'm the guy that ends this World Series nonsense. We know that it came close, but it didn't happen. I said, I got to think everyone's supportive. He goes, everyone? No. Mm-hmm. And he pointed to a stack on his desk of letters. And, I mean, it was a good 4 inches thick. He goes, pick one. I go, what is it? He goes, pick one. Jeez. I just reached in and pulled one out. And it was the most vile, wow, ridiculous letter I had ever read, referencing his cancer, oh, and his skin color. He goes, dude, that's just life, man. He goes, that's an idiot. That doesn't speak for a fan base. That's just life. That's what it is. But you know it's there. So it goes on everywhere. There's a lot of sick people in the world.
David Kaplan is our guest. Cap, White Sox in a minute suddenly have won 4 out of their last 5, including the last 3. We'll get to them. Got to ask you about the bullpen, Cap, and it was clearly a concern last week or so. Clearly, seemingly better. Do you agree with this bullpen that had a very slow start, that maybe they're starting to find themselves?
No, not yet. I mean, they went 17 and two-thirds of scoreless baseball, and then they followed that up with over the weekend walking, you know, half of Chicago. So, no, I'm not there yet. They need their starting pitching to pitch deep into games, and you're not going to be perfect in the pen. You cannot walk, guys. I know it'll happen occasionally. Steve Cishek had a bad outing, but he's still a stud.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot keep putting guys on. Yu Darvish the other night, 9 base runners in 5 2/3. Again, better. Not great. Better, not great. So it's got to continue to get better, because when you have to hand the ball in the 6th inning, you can't go to Cishek right to Strope every time.
Mm.
You're going to have guys that don't nibble at the corner.
Last one on the Cubs for me, Cap, and I kind of poo-pooed the signing. In fact, we talked about it back in February or January whenever Descalzo signed, and I said, you know, Cap, why did they... This seems like an unneeded part. You know, he's okay. He's a journeyman, but he's never going to wow you. At least that was my take back, you know, during football season, whenever it was. But, man, he's been terrific. I was dead wrong about this guy. You said tap the brakes when we talked about the signing. He's been terrific.
Yeah, I'm a big fan because he's one of, you know, he reminds me of Mark DeRosa.
I think that's what you said, actually. Yeah.
It's not going to be a power hitter. He'll hit a few when he gets the head of the bat out and turns a fastball out of the ballpark. But, you know, you look at a guy like Javi. Javi Baez has just sick talent. I mean, that's generational talent. Daniel Descalzo is just, he's a grinder. Hey, you need me to play third for a day because so-and-so needs a day out? I'm in. Need me to play second? I'm in. You want me to lead off and just try and see pitches? I'm in. oh, you need me to run over and play first base for the eighth inning because Rizzo got hit, he's coming out, I'm in. Hmm. And he's a leader in there. They love him in there. So, yeah, for me, this was a no-brainer signing.
Over to the south side in the Chicago Juan Mercadas. Is that what we're going to rename him? Boy, this kid's incredible.
Yeah, Juan Mercadas doing an amazing, amazing job. Amazing, amazing job. So it's good to see he's playing better. Jimenez, Luis Robert is killing it in the minors. He's eventually going to get here. Dylan Cease eventually going to get here. I just don't think they have enough starting pitching to hang in the race this year. But it's still good to see that they are, at least in my opinion, on the right track.
Hmm. Cap, last thing for you from me. Go back to Monday. What was your show like? The Masters gone to Tiger Woods, I'm guessing, was a pretty big talker in Chicago. Just a remarkable comeback, really, not only in his career but in life and to where he was at, and watching him with his son, Charlie. That was pretty good theater, Cappy.
Yeah, it was amazing, amazing theater. And it was a lot of fun for me. I took a wager on Tiger, and I'm sitting there watching it with my wife and my son. And it wasn't like life-changing money. It was just fun. But to watch him win and the way that he did against these young guns, and you had Molinari have his struggles on two different holes, and then you had Koepka coming at him and just couldn't quite run him down, and Tiger coming up with that shot on 16, I just thought it was great theater.
Finally, Cap, we'll get you out on this. Loyola Chicago keeps their head coach. Porter Moser announces yesterday, after a flirtation with St. John's, he'll be staying in Chicago. The importance for Loyola, and now going forward, after 2 years ago, the run to the Final Four, what this program can be going forward?
Hey, look, they're going to open up here shortly a $20 million practice facility.
Wow.
They've got an amazingly beautiful campus on Lake Michigan. But there's a lot of great things that Loyola can do. Going to be a team where you look at them and go, yeah, there's one of the top 20 programs in the country? No, never going to happen. It's just, I love the Valley. You guys know I do.
Yep.
I call games in the Valley. But it's a one-bid league unless your record is so insane that you can find a way to get in there with a 26, 27 wins. We saw Illinois State get left home with that type of a run. So if there's no guarantee you're getting in, he has to be comfortable with that. But as he said to me on the phone on Tuesday, he's like, I was taught a long time ago, don't run from happy, especially if it's just for money. Don't run from happy. And I've always subscribed to that philosophy. It's not about the last dollar, because if it was, he's gone. Told me it was $18 million guaranteed. $18 million guaranteed, and he's making $975 million. Again, I'll never make $975 million in my life. I hope you guys do, but I'm not sure you will.
Right.
Most people listening aren't going to make $975 million. But there's a big difference between making $975 million and someone guaranteeing you $18 million. He's happy. God bless him.
Absolutely, Cap. Great stuff. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, boys.
Good to talk to you. David Kaplan joining us from Chicago, making it possible, is our friends at Centurion Stone. Their website is Centurion Stone of Iowa. If you're looking for manufactured or natural stone to accent or update your exterior or interior project of any size, Centurion Stone offers a variety of style patterns and colors for every need. As the look and feel of natural stone is available in over 200 colors and pattern combinations. Check them out online, Centurion Stone of Iowa, or head down to their showroom, 5525. Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines, 5525 Northeast 22nd Street in Des Moines, Centurion Stone of Iowa.
So, you are...
Well, we got Ross Peterson before I get out of here. Were you trying to push me out the door?
Well, all right. One more segment in you, so we'll get you out after we talk to Ross and talk a little fishing.
Yeah.
I got something I'm going to throw by
you
Ross, too.
You said that yesterday, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck that is. Oh, I'll pay attention like hopefully our audience will.
I got something in my back pocket. You know, Ross is a proud Eastsider.
Yes, he is. East High alum.
And high school.
Does a lot of work with the East High golf tournament.
He does. High school baseball season's right around the corner.
We're going to get him in for some help.
I want to go out to, I love calling games.
I know
East,
you do.
And
love calling games, period.
Yes, I do. Absolutely love it. There's summertime, hot press box, calling a baseball game. It is absolutely great. But We got the Scarlets on the schedule. We'll see if we can get Ross out there.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll hold his feet to the fire.
I look forward to that. Ross Peterson going to join the program. Of course, Ross, you hear him every afternoon with the Fanatics, part of the show. Chris Williams, the other half. They're coming up at 4. Murph and Andy today at 2. FullerDental.net. Dr. Stephen Fuller makes it possible, portions of this program possible. Fuller Dentistry, FullerDental.net on the web, East 29th Street in Des Moines, and, of course, on 8th Street in Altoona, FullerDental.net. All the forms are there. You want to get there in advance. If you're new to the area, fill them out in advance. New to the area, or it's time for a new dentist, or it's been a while, check out my dentist, Dr. Stephen Fuller. Back with Ross Peterson. He's next. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
In Hawaii.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to David Kaplan again, Centurion Stone of Iowa, make it possible to speak with the Cap Man. We do each and every week here on Miller and Condon. Well, one of our colleagues, Trent, is back in studio with us. Good to see Ross Peterson. We listen to him in the afternoon, part of the Fanatics. Gets underway at 4 o'clock. How are you, Ross Peterson?
I'm doing really well. Ken, thanks for having me back in, man.
Well, early in January, when we got the bug to talk a little fishing, it seemed like you guys were playing the Ballard spot a lot. And
yeah.
It got my attention and got my Canadian juices flowing. And now's the time of year where the lakes are starting to melt. We're still a few weeks up there from the ice being off the lakes. You realize that, right?
I talk to those guys frequently up there just to kind of see where they are. I'm amazed when we have those 60-degree days, and then you call up there and they say, there's 3 feet of snow on top of 19 inches of ice.
Yeah.
And they had to get horses out there this year to try to pull because the rain came in on top of the snow, so it got all slushy and muddy out there. So they had to bring in horses to pull ice shacks off the lake and off the river.
Isn't that something?
It's insane. I just, Ken, I'm so glad that you, from the minute I started going up here to these trips, this is close to home for you.
Yeah.
And so you and I get to kind of talk about this. I love that we both get glossy-eyed and just go, oh, it's such a beautiful place. It's the greatest trip I've ever been a part of. And I don't say that because I'm selling it. I say that because, like, all year long, from the minute I get back from that trip, I'm thinking about it.
Isn't
I spend 6 months
something?
Remembering and 6 months anticipating. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
No, it really is. Our May long weekend is the week before Memorial Day. It's Victoria Day. And the snow and the snow's gone, but the ice is, the lakes are always open by then, and they've maybe been open for a week. Lakes are packed. People are in the water swimming, Ross. It's crazy when I think back of what we used to do. But that's what we used to do. We didn't know any better.
Legitimately 45, 50 degree water.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't stay in it long, but man, you were getting in it because you put yourself through that just miserable winter. Trent, we will get you in here as well. But,
yes. This is Trent, not exactly my line of expertise.
Not an outdoorsman? Do you fish at all? Or
no. You know, my dad was big into that. And maybe it was because he almost forced me to go.
Yeah.
And I'd rather watch a ball game. I'd rather play catch. I'd rather throw the football around. So that was always me growing up, like, oh, we got to go camping. And I don't have a TV and I'm going to miss the game. So I don't like that. And then we're going to go fishing again.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time that I really enjoyed it is when you get the transistor radio out.
Yep.
And then we flip on the
Been
Twins
there,
game
done
from
that.
WCCO. And that was, for me, the best part of it, is being able to listen to a ball game while I got fish on the line.
Friend, I will tell you, I did my greatest day of fishing ever was a day when CC threw a near perfect game against Minnesota. Sorry, but we were on the boat listening to the game, had a great day of fishing, beautiful sun, and I did get to hear baseball that day. And I remember that one day as being a banner day.
They kind of connect, don't they?
They do, yeah. I do like the change. I like the unplugging and that week of being able to just, when you say wilderness, you are seeing land that a human being probably hasn't walked on in 10,000 years. It's just amazing how isolated you are from the rest of the world.
So do you have, is cell coverage non-existent you guys are?
There is on the island. The island's like full amenities. I mean, you've got
once you get out of the water,
running water. Once you get out of the water, you're fishing.
Right.
For about 8 hours a day.
Yeah, perfect.
And then you go to another one of these islands, you pull up on some rocks, and the guides kill your fish and cook them for you 20 minutes after you had them in the water. It's just an amazing
experience. It tastes different, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And then I just learned a new technique. I'm going to freak out some of your listeners about killing your fish instantly. And that way, so your fish doesn't flop around, because when the fish flops around, it releases the same things like when we run around and the lactic acid builds up in our bones after we sit. when the fish is in the cooler flopping around.
You guys don't use a stringer?
No. Because
really?
No, you put them right on the ice, throw them in a bucket in a cooler full of ice and try to kind of flash freeze them in a way.
Okay, we put right through his gill and right back into the water with him.
Yeah, that's a common thing to do. Yeah. In Iowa, you do that a lot. But, okay. Oh, it's so much fun, Ken. I just love
that. I do too, Ross. We used to, fly in fish probably 5 times a year. We'd drive to wherever the plane was, a pontoon plane, Sunday night. And you know what? Well, maybe when you're up in there in September, see June, literally June, the sun goes down at maybe 11 o'clock, and by 4 o'clock in the morning, it's back up again. Yeah. So we used to fly in June was spectacular for that. We would land and watch the plane leave, and the plane would pick us up on Wednesday. And we're there by ourselves.
Yeah,
I mean, if something happened, we're screwed.
This isn't that isolated. You know, we've had, you're on an island that has not only full-time guides and, like, wait staff and things like that with you. So you're not quite in that flyaway isolation, but it's not near as expensive as that. So this bill is around $1,400. When you include your travel up there and tip and everything, it's right around $2,000 for the week. And everybody that is gone comes back and says, that was amazing. Money well spent, because the experience and the memories are something you'll
never
forget.
So what time do you guys head out to? Are you up at the crack of dawn, or do you guys get up, have breakfast, and then go out?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Get up, they cook you breakfast, and it's the food's like the part I can never sell enough, because I'm not a foodie. Right. So I took Bruno with me last year, who is a foodie, and he was amazed at everything that we eat is fantastic. So yeah, you wake up, you get breakfast, and then you're out on the lake. Sometimes you take a sack lunch with you, maybe 1 or 2 days, but other than that, you're doing the shore lunch.
And you're hoping you're not eating the sack lunch, because if you do, and you had a bad day in the water.
Yeah, well, you plan beforehand, because if you're doing the shore lunch, you're going to catch fish. Like,
absolutely.
It's not even it's barely fishing. It's catching.
Do they have a state-of-the-art fish finder, or is it old school?
I'd call it old school more than state of the art. I mean, you've got the electronics, you know, and you have depth finders, but it's all about finding the structure in
live
the water.
Live bait?
Yep. Well, no, frozen minnows
is what
they use. Frozen shiners.
Back troll?
You go down, you land on top of the structure, and you vertically jig.
Okay.
And then now that we've been up there 5-6 years, I'm basically like my own guide.
You know the holes.
I know the holes. So I get all the guys into my boat. I grab my buddies. We get out there. We find where we want to catch the fish. And it's just amazing. Then you come back and the camaraderie on the island. Mm-hmm. You sit around the fire and you see a billion stars at night. We saw the Northern Lights 2 years ago. And it's just, it's awesome in the truest form of the word.
Yeah.
So how many spots are left? How many people? What's your group kind of looking like overall for people looking to get involved and want to make their way up?
I'm glad you said that, Trent. I think right now we have about 6 spots that are left for this. So if you want to...
And it's going to cost about $2,000.
Yeah, right. And if you do this with your buddy, I can't say it enough. This will be something you will remember the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. This experience is incredible. You can go to blackisland.com, and there's like a trips tab. You can see my name under that. Or you can call...
Blackisland.com?
Blackisland.com. And you see pictures of the island there. And I tell them all the time, like, these pictures don't even do justice for what is on the website, because this place is absolutely beautiful. One of the most majestic things I've ever done in my life, if not the most. So you can go to blackisland.com, trips. You'll see my name, Ross Peterson. That'll give you all the details. Or you can call Gary.
I see you right there, Ross Peterson.
Huh? Big time in here,
yes,
Kenny Miller.
You are.
218-634-1996. And right, it says on there that the sign-up deadline is May 1st. I think they are pushing that back to June, but I wouldn't wait if this is something you're interested in. And I have guys all the time tell me, like, man, I'm going to go fishing with you. Now's the time. It's
you know great. What, or get off the pot.
Right.
17th of September through the 23rd?
That's it, man. And the great thing is I miss a bye week this week.
Nice.
Last 2 years.
And you get Cy-Hawk, too.
Right. Yeah. Last 2 years I was up there for Wisconsin and
brutal.
Penn State the year before.
Oh, that leaves a mark. Leaves a mark. So you'll miss once, or you'll miss the sound off when the team
for the
is
bye
off.
Week. Yeah.
Precious.
That nailed it this year.
Yes.
Nailed it this year. All right, I brought baseball up to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. So today you're wearing your East High t-shirt.
Yes, I am, baby.
When's the East High Golf Tournament?
Coming up May 10th. I better check that. 10th and 11th? Is that a Friday, Saturday? Top of my head, I'm thinking May 10th, 11th. Let me check this real quick so I don't misspeak. Yep, 10th, 11th.
10th, 11th. Well, this is July 10th. It's a Wednesday. On the high school baseball calendar, I have the East Scarlets hosting the Jaguars from Ankeny Centennial. I would hope that you're going to come by maybe we could do the doubleheader, do game one.
100%.
Game one, you can do play-by-play. I'll do color. We'll flip-flop in game two.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. I got goosebumps right now. Absolutely. I would love to do that with you, Trent. Thank you so much for asking me to do that.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm finalizing the schedule now. Okay. I've had the preliminary out there. I had East, but it was a road game. I said, you know what? We got to get over to East. I love that stadium.
Yeah.
It's goofy. Right field is the bleachers to the football field. It is. It's a short porch, and if you hit it to left center, it's a long porch.
Yeah.
I love calling games there. You know, 3-4 years ago, Zalik Ziegler, who just got traded to the
Malik,
Twins organization, he was so much fun to watch. That whole group of kids, Enoch
and company. Colby Carmichael the year. Yeah, they were fantastic.
Great group of kids, and they got another big group coming in that I called last year their Little League World Series run.
Oh, for MediaCom, right?
Yes,
I remember that.
The championships there. I love making that area. I love high school baseball in general. So I thought of that, and I said, I got to finalize this, and I put your feet to the fire.
Dude, 100%. Anytime you need somebody to help you out with high school baseball, you let me know, okay? I'll move the family situation around so I can come and do that with you.
Every Songer is going to said he can help out a little bit, too.
Emery's and he's going to help you out to the next couple of days,
yes,
right?
Yes, he'll be in Thursday and Friday for you. Good. And excited for it. High school baseball.
Well, tell him not to be too good.
Well, right.
Hey, listen, Emery's good. We're lucky to have him, man, and he's anxious to be.
Am I going to be Wally Pipp here? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know. They just say keep a foot in the door, okay?
Stay out in Vegas, Ken.
Remember that ship we were talking about?
Yeah, I do remember that well. BlackIsland.com, BlackIsland.com for more information. Click on trips. Then you'll see Ross Peterson's name. Click on it. Tuesday, September 17th through Monday, the 23rd of September, $1,400 a person plus travel, $2,000. You're there and back. Going to have the time of your life. Petey, thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Ken. I'd so much appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely.
Trent, thanks for the offer, man. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
I will be listening on July the 10th.
July the 10th, nice hot Wednesday night high school baseball. Right around the corner.
Indeed.
Less than a month away.
Coming up. All right, speaking up around the corner, my plane is Trent. You carry the ship from here on in. We'll see you on Monday. Trent's got the 11 o'clock hour next. Emery Songer and Trent the next couple of days. Thank you, Ross Peterson. Thank you, David Kaplan. 11 o'clock hour is next. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.